Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Dancing the salsa. With his partner Lindsay, it's Sean Spicer.
Oh, yeah. Spicer is right. Sean Spicer, if you missed it, we just played it for you. I know you've been waiting all show for this.
It's great.
I think Tony's doing Dancing with the Stars next month.
Oh, my God.
He signed up.
This is
folks, you have to priceless. Watch this if you haven't seen it. He's in white pants, yes. White tight dance pants, mm-hmm. And this like neon green feathery ruffle,
yep. Mm-hmm.
puffy shirt.
And he's shimmying. Oh yes. Man, he is shaking it.
He's owning it. He is owning it.
He is. You know what?
And he's playing the drums in the beginning. That's him. That's him doing the bongos there.
It's him on the bongos at the beginning.
It's hilarious.
I could not imagine how nerve-wracking all of this is.
You know, this type of television is not for me. But
me either.
But I will say, oh my God.
Would
Katie
you watch
still
it?
Has it on in the background, and I just watched the end of it.
Would you watch it?
So he does the...
Did you like the splits or something?
He does the...
run and then go on
the
knees.
What's the footloose. The footloose knee slide. But my point, not for me. I in Sean Spicer's position would not do that, participate in Dancing with the Stars. But it is an important reminder when you see this happening. Sean Spicer's just a guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a person. He's got other aspects of his life. We get so used to seeing, especially in politics, these people. I mean, Sean Spicer is known to the majority of America that knows him for conducting press conferences.
And being very serious.
Yeah, briefings.
Mm-hmm.
And only talking about politics, and everything about him, you know, is attached to the president. And he, you know, and he's speaking for the president and a, you know, Republican mouthpiece, you know, is what some people would. And then you see him in a neon green puffy shirt pretending like he's playing the bongos and sliding around on his knees and just
to the Spice Girls
and having a good time,
yes.
Mm-hmm.
and just being a silly normal person. That's
OMG,
that's what we say.
Yeah great. I think people forget these are all human beings.
Yes, and they're caricatured by the media into something bizarre and inhuman.
And one and myopic.
One-dimensional.
One-dimensional, exactly.
Absolutely one-dimensional.
Yeah.
We've been talking a lot about the Kavanaugh story that blew up. And the left, man, I'll tell you what, they are good at pivoting. That story has gone up in absolute flames. So today, on Capitol Hill, in order to divert everyone's attention from that and from everything else the left has failed on in throwing mud bombs at the president over the last 3 years, now we're going to go back to investigating the president about, like, Tony, I don't know what are they doing today? What is this about? What are they investigating? I couldn't even tell you. And we follow this religiously. They're having a hearing before the House Judiciary Committee where Corey Lewandowski is testifying because they're still trying to dig up the dead and buried Mueller report, I guess.
I think they are officially calling this an impeachment probe.
Oh.
I think that is what Jerry Nadler has titled this.
So it's a quest in search of impeachment, right? Pretty much.
Yeah.
When has that ever stopped? I thought that was from...
When has it ever been done?
Never.
2016 on.
Matt Gaetz, Congressman Matt Gaetz is having a good time right now. I can tell he's smiling, asking Corey some questions. Republican Matt Gaetz from Florida. Great guy, the left.
The Republicans are just everything
they're having a field day. Is
just like highlighting what you just said, Tim, that this is just a giant waste of time. And
it's a giant joke. And Matt Gaetz said, yesterday, they interviewed him about this hearing today. They said, well, what's Congressman, you know, the president is now going to be probed for impeachment. Sounds painful. Sounds like something you go to the doctor for when you're in your 50s. I'm looking at down that short term there. Okay, let me dial it back a minute.
I should have checked this.
Congressman Matt Gaetz yesterday said the reality of the Democrats impeaching this president is deader than a Joe Biden campaign rally. I thought that was good.
Dang.
Hey, did you guys talk about Corn Pop yesterday?
Oh, yeah. Man. R.I.P. Corn Pop.
Yeah. If you're going to name yourself like a real tough gangster name, I don't know if you choose a sugary cereal.
Corn Pop, yo. I don't know.
Name yourself. Pop, you don't give yourself a nickname.
Yeah, someone else gives you the nickname.
You got to be given a nickname. Yeah.
You got to earn a nickname.
I should have checked before just asking this, but aren't some of the Democratic presidential candidates on the Senate Judiciary Committee?
This is the House Judiciary Committee.
Oh, this is the how. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
But that's
good.
A good question. Is there anybody? No, there's no. Well, Congressman Tim Ryan, is he still in the race?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I don't know if he was on judiciary.
Like
or not.
Who, if it's important, because this is a big deal. Like, is it important enough to come off the campaign trail?
Oh, probably so.
To do your job.
Oh, I'm sure they would have rushed right in. No, maybe if there's a Senate committee hearing, then we get to see Spartacus and Kamala and the rest of the gang. But
this is the House. You're right. I was
this is Nadler in the House.
Yep.
And Nadler is going to ride this railroad right off the cliff of 2020. And he's going to find nothing because there's nothing to be found. I mean, if Robert Mueller, who was, and maybe in some circles still is, a well-respected public servant, former head of the FBI, special counsel's office, you know, until Robert Mueller was dragged into this circus, he had an incredibly impeccable career. And I think he got in trouble during this as far as maybe his reputation getting dinged, because what was evident when he testified on this very issue for Capitol Hill, it became very evident that Robert Mueller didn't run his own show. He either was having incredible memory lapses or he was not aware of anything in the first place. And he hired a bunch of Democrats, and they were. When you looked at their records and who they donated to.
And who they worked for.
And who they worked for. They were all dyed-in-the-wool Democrats. And apparently he went to the golf course and let them run the show for 22 months. Because when he was asked questions about his report, he didn't know the answers, to the point where the Democrats had to basically read his own freaking report to him.
Yeah. No, it was clear that he signed off on it, but he didn't do or even ingest large portions of his investigation.
And so whether that's true or not, somebody in the special counsel's office, or rather a crew of somebodies, spent nearly 2 years investigating this administration, President Donald J. Trump, everybody who's anybody who's ever shaken his hand, apparently, or ever spoken to him. And then they wrote a 400-plus page report. Folks, 400 pages with, I believe, millions of pages of supporting documents. And out of all of that, they apparently could not find any legitimate evidence, concrete evidence, on which to file and proceed on full articles of impeachment with the full House. So why in the world, Tony, do they think they can have another random hearing on a random day in September with a bunch of random witnesses they've already talked to where they're going to find something new? There's nothing more to be found. The only thing they're trying to set up here is more process crimes for people to be pulled into perjury traps. That's it.
Mm-hmm. It's all about political points.
The House investigated this, as Tony pointed out in our last segment or two ago. The Senate investigated it. The Senate issued a bipartisan report. What's his face from Virginia? Mark Warner, who sat on that committee with, I think, I don't know if it was Grassley or if it was somebody else, or Lindsey Graham or somebody like that. And remember, Warner grudgingly had to admit, yeah, as much as I would have liked to have found it, I could not find any actual evidence of Russian collusion. So the House issued a report from the Republican side. The Senate issued a very bipartisan report, because that's how they do things in the Senate. It found nothing. Mueller, the great savior of the liberal media and the far left, he came up with a big giant goose egg. Then they all went on vacation and went home and had summers. They had a 7-week break. And then they came back. And instead of working on all the things that they said were a crisis affecting America, all the Democrats agreed, what happened to the humanitarian crisis of the border? Is it over?
Right.
Did we shut it down? Did we close Texas? I mean, what happened to that? What happened to the health care?
That's a great point.
Reform debate. What's happened to all these things? The Iranians.
My guess is
Iranians just blew up a Saudi oil field.
Yeah. My guess is they have realized that they don't have majority support in the United States for their decriminalization of border crossings and let the UN take over and handle what's happening down there. I think they realized, after looking at polls and the reaction of the country, that it wasn't getting them anywhere. Fighting what the president is doing down there on the border was not scoring them points. So they just walked away from it. And that's exactly my point and your point, I think, is that they're not working for the people. They're not trying to make the border safer. They don't care about the immigrants that are crossing and putting themselves in danger in those long treks through Mexico. And like all the things that they said, how they were worried about the human beings, the migrants that were on that dangerous trail, the people, the United States citizens and everybody down there at the board, that's what they said that they were worried about. None of that has changed. They were worried about the kids in cages.
Yes, they were.
And the way that we were mistreating all of the detainees down there. But none of that has changed, and the Democrats' outrage has faded. And I think it's the only thing I can come up with is that their message was not a political winner. So they shifted gears and moved on to something else.
And so now we're back to the fallback position is, let's remind everybody of how much a corrupt, evil, racist the president is.
Yeah.
Let's have another hearing in another judiciary session on Capitol Hill where we talk about nothing. It's an investigation in search of a crime that has never occurred. And it's amazing that anyone would want to reelect any of these folks. Now, look, the Republicans squandered some opportunities on a lot of issues. So the American people, as they often did, said, well, let's try different makeup in the House. This one does not seem to be performing up to at least even par. We'll continue to talk about that with our next guest, who will join us after this break at 2:25, Michael Joyce, the deputy press secretary for the RNC. We're going to talk to him about the president's rally last night in New Mexico, going to places he did not win last time. That's an interesting tactic. We'll ask him why the president went to New Mexico. And also, oh, good Lord, MSNBC. One night was not enough. MSNBC is going to host a two-night climate forum with Democratic candidates coming up soon. Whoa. We'll talk to you about that pain when we come back here on 97.1 FM Talk.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced. Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
For you and for Texas and for so many other places, they want to get rid of your energy. I mean, explain that one. Explain that. Yet every major Democrat running for president, they want to abolish all production of oil and natural gas. In other words, the Democrats want to completely annihilate New Mexico's economy.
That was the president last night at a huge rally in the state of New Mexico, a state he did not win last time, which is why I found it very interesting. He was going there very early in the campaign election cycle. I know it feels like we've been running for 2020 for quite a while already, but you know, we're still pretty early in the cycle. The Democrats still have 10, you know, or more plus people up on their debate stage, and the president is heading to New Mexico, which I thought was rather exciting. We're going to talk to our next guest about that and so much more. Joining us now on the Annie Fry Show is none other than Michael Joyce, the Deputy Press Secretary for the RNC. Michael, thanks for joining us on the Annie Fry Show. I'm Tim Jones filling in for Annie today. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, Michael, let's talk about the president going to New Mexico. You know, what do you think about that strategy this early in the cycle? I think it's pretty interesting that the president is definitely looking to broaden the tent, broaden the base.
Yeah, well, thanks to the unprecedented support that the president enjoys around the country, not just from Republicans, but the amount of support that he continues to welcome into our party, folks that are registered Democrats or folks with no previous voter history, that's still continuing this year and into 2020. And so I think it has allowed the president to focus on expanding the map and looking at states where his message and his agenda can resonate with voters, where we can actually build out the map and not just win the Wisconsins and Pennsylvanias and Michigans of 2016, but, you know, what are those other states where we can add to the president's victory in 2020? And so a state like New Mexico makes a lot of sense. There's a high level of gun ownership in the state. A lot of folks work in the oil and gas sector. A lot of folks work on fracking, and they work in the Permian Basin over there. So it makes sense why the president would go to a state like New Mexico. And, of course, it's a very large Hispanic community, and the president touched on some of these issues. But when you hit unemployment levels being at record lows for the Hispanic community, when you look at Hispanic home ownership being at an all-time high right now, when you look at the 13 months of wage growth over 3%, it's pretty easy to see how the president could have a path to victory in New Mexico. And he touched on a lot of those items just last night. So the great thing about the president and the situation he's in right now is that he has very high levels of fundraising. 61% of his fundraising numbers are coming from small donors. So those are donations of $200 or less. And of course, every time you see the crowds the president is having at these rallies, they're still large, tens of thousands of people coming out every single time. So the president clearly has all of the momentum right now heading into 2020, but he is looking to expand the map. And I think we'll see more of these rallies pop up in states that might not be so similar to Republicans seeing a sitting president going out there and campaigning, because this president brings in a very large swath of support from all over the country, and he's going to continue to do so.
Michael, you just touched on a point I was going to ask you about next, and that's the fact that if you watched any of the rally last night or watched any of the clips about the rally, you saw Americans on there that the liberal media and the left says do not exist, and that was people on that stage in that room wearing Hispanics for Trump T-shirts and hats. Michael, as you just touched upon, there are a huge swath of Hispanic American, of Latino voters that support this president because he has absolutely helped that community lift themselves up, obtain prosperity and opportunity. And there's a lot of hardworking, common sense conservatives in the Hispanic American community, aren't there, that support this president?
Yeah, well, for a long time, Republicans have been saying that the values of the Hispanic community line up very well with Republican values and why we tend to be Republicans. And so I think it's easy to see why the president has such a large amount of support from the Hispanic community, both in New Mexico and all over the country. As a matter of fact, the RNC's own data has shown us that There's a million Hispanic voters in Texas who are now more likely to support President Trump in 2020 than they were in 2016. And I think it's pretty obvious to see why. With border security right now, it's very clear that President Trump is the only one serious about securing our southern border and, more importantly, reforming our broken immigration system. We're still on pace for over 1 million illegal immigrant apprehensions at our southern border this year. These figures are unprecedented, and I think anyone understands that if you live in a community at the border, there's a lot of violence and crime that's happening there right now. And it doesn't matter if you're Hispanic, if you're white, black, Asian. I think anyone would be upset having that kind of violence going on in their own backyard. So it's easy to see why the president continues to welcome more Hispanic voters to our side and to him in 2020. And you have to look no closer than border security to see why. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think the Hispanic community, like everyone else in this country, cares about kitchen table issues. You know, do I have enough money to feed my family and things like that? And when you look at this booming economy right now, it's easy to see that this economy has really delivered for the Hispanic community in this country. And that's why I think the president is enjoying this newfound support among the Hispanic community right now.
You know, Michael, you mentioned some of the economic issues that are being affected to the positive in New Mexico, in the energy sector especially. And Michael, I'm broadcasting here from the heart of the heartland here in St. Louis, Missouri, and we're heavy in this state and this region on agriculture and agribusiness. Would you touch on what would happen if, God forbid, Democrats gain control of any more levers of government, and they're able to either legislatively or even worse, through executive order, pass things like in the Green New Deal, and what that would do to New Mexico's economy and the energy sector and to Missouri's economy and the agriculture sector?
Yeah, well, if we move forward with banning all fossil fuels, as every frontrunner in the 2020 Democratic field has stated they intend to do, millions of Americans will be out of a job in this country instantly. We're talking over 14 million jobs from coast to coast across this country. And that's not even involving anyone who works in nuclear energy, because they want to get rid of nuclear energy, too. It can only be green energy moving forward. And, you know, I don't believe the Democrat lies. Time and time again, they promise that green energy will create all of these jobs. But we've seen when they actually try to implement these things in a state like California, Kamala Harris's home state, it just doesn't work that way. So they want to get rid of millions of jobs right out of the gate. Day one, if a Democrat becomes elected in office in 2020, that's what they want to do. Also, as far as agriculture goes and farmers and ranchers, I mean, forget it. They don't care about China's unfair trade practices. They're going to continue to let China steal our intellectual property and hurt American farmers with their unfair trade practices. A lot of the equipment that farmers rely on to crop their farms are out the gate, because we're not going to have any more gasoline in this country. If you have any propane tanks on your property, those are gone as well. I think it would be catastrophic for America's farmers, ranchers, manufacturers, and people who work in the energy sector if a Democrat were to become elected to office, because it's not just they can't just say any longer that these are right wing talking points. These are facts said by the candidates on the stage. They want to get rid of your jobs if you work in oil and gas, if you work in nuclear energy. If you're a farmer, you have to look at it this way. They won't even pass the USMCA trade deal right now, mm-hmm. which will overwhelmingly benefit America's farmers, ranchers, and manufacturers, because they don't want to give the president another win between now and the election date in 2020. So they've made it very clear that they will do nothing to help America's farmers. They don't have a message to them other than we're going to get rid of your cows because cow farts are bad for the environment. And I don't see how that resonates with anyone going into the election. So they have a very tough sell, I think, to middle America right now, as you put it, for folks in Missouri. Because in 2016, Hillary Clinton said, we're going to put a lot of coal miners out of work and you're all a basket of deplorables. And I think the Democrats haven't learned any lessons, because now they're saying, why stop the coal miners? And instead of saying that Trump voters are a basket of deplorables, Pete Buttigieg just says that we're all racist now. So he called 62 million Americans racist on the debate stage last week. It's absolutely appalling. I don't know what message they're going to bring the middle Americans and why they should vote for them over President Trump in 2020, because all they're promising to do is upend our economy, kill your jobs, and put your family out of business. So I don't see how that's a winning message, especially in contrast to what President Trump has been able to do in 2.5 short years.
Well, Michael, it's exactly right. And the fact that they are a rudderless ship, as you just stated, is exemplified today by what's just happened on Capitol Hill. They're having impeachment probe hearings in search of a crime or some corruption that they can't define or put their fingers on. Because like you just said, Michael, even though they ran on health care in 2018, they've done nothing for the health care system except further exacerbate the problems of Obamacare and try to suggest we should go to Medicare for all, which is health care for none. They're not addressing the humanitarian crisis that they identified is occurring at the border. They're doing nothing relating international policy or trying to keep Americans safe at home or abroad. I can't figure out what the message is. And apparently now, as if 7 hours wasn't enough, Michael, I understand that MSNBC is going to host a two-night forum on climate change this week.
Yeah, that's the toughest one, I think, because they could have saved us the 7 hours for the CNN climate town hall if they would have just told us the things they're not going to ban, because for 7 hours we had to listen to exactly what Democrats want to ban, and the scope was very wide-ranging. It's anything from commercial air travel, gasoline cars, down to cow farts, plastic straws, and cheeseburgers. Those are all gone in a Democrat White House in 2020. But, you hit on a couple things that I want to touch on. First of all, it was hard to take Steve Cohen serious today when he didn't have his bucket of fried chicken during the hearing. Because, it really is just a clown show what they're doing in the House Judiciary Committee. And I think the most troubling thing about Democrats and Nancy Pelosi as Speaker is they've turned the House of Representatives into the House of Investigations. Mm-hmm. All they care about doing now is investigating President Trump and continuing this political vendetta, which really is nothing more than a witch hunt against this president at this point. And so, today they interviewed Corey Lewandowski. I think this is his third or fourth time now that he's been brought before Congress and had to testify. They're continuing this witch hunt, focusing on the Russia collusion hoax. And really, all the Democrats have done since President Trump has been elected to office is inaction and trying to impeach President Trump. So they're moving forward with impeachment proceedings. They don't have enough time to impeach Justice Kavanaugh, which in itself is a ridiculous notion as well, because they're too busy trying to impeach President Trump with absolutely nothing to base this impeachment off of, other than a two-year, $35 million special counsel that said no collusion and no obstruction. So the fact that they've done nothing since President Trump was elected, I think, is another hard sell in itself, because they can't go to the American people this time around and say, we need to check on President Trump, because all they've been doing is continuing this political vendetta. So the more they do it, the more I think they hurt themselves, because they're not getting anything done for the American people right now. And I think that's what people in this country ultimately care about more than partisan politics is, what are we getting done in Washington that's going to actually help us here in our communities back at home? And the Democrats simply haven't done anything. And they promised to pass a budget in the first 100 days. They didn't do that. They still haven't passed the budget. So it's clear that the only thing they're going to do in Washington moving forward is try to impeach President Trump and go after their political opponents. And I think the American people see past that. I think they've had enough of it and they're ready to move on. And that's why President Trump and Republicans are going to have a very divisive and celebratory victory in 2020.
Speaking to Michael Joyce, the Deputy Press Secretary for the RNC. Michael, before I let you go, I'm trying to end on a positive note. Michael, the truth of the matter is we are living in one of the most peaceful, prosperous times our nation has ever experienced. And if there was a Democrat in the White House right now with this economy, wouldn't that be the headline story every day about how great the opportunities are for Americans, how we have record employment? The small business owners I know here in St. Louis and the surrounding heartland, they can't find enough workers. I mean, isn't the true story of the President Donald J. Trump presidency to this point a story of record prosperity and opportunity for all Americans?
Absolutely. You know, the 90% plus negative media coverage this president has received since he's been in office really doesn't do this economy any justice whatsoever, because to your point, we've seen record wage growth. We've had 13 straight months of wage growth over 3%. We hit GDP over 3% for an entire year in 2018. That was something Barack Obama and Joe Biden couldn't do a single year during their 8 years in office. There's more people looking for work than jobs available, as you mentioned. Unemployment record lows for the Latino community. For women, we're at a record low since 1953, for Asian Americans, and we just hit another record low for the Black community as well for unemployment. So, yeah, This economy is booming right now, and it's thanks in part to the president's America First policies. Things like tax reform absolutely jump-started this economy, and all deregulation and undoing the overbearing regulations of the Obama administration really have this country moving in the right direction again. So if you care about this economy and you like the way it's headed, the only option you have in 2020 is President Trump and Republicans, because they're the only ones enacting policies to make this happen.
Deputy Press Secretary of the RNC, Michael Joyce. Thank you so much, Michael, for joining us today on the Annie Frye Show. It was really a pleasure having you on.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
We'll talk to you again soon, definitely, as we roll through campaign silly season. Tim Jones in for Annie Frye today. We've only got one segment left. Where did those 3 hours go? Give us a holler if you want. Talk about anything we've been talking about today. They failed, the epically failed fake news New York Times story about Justice Kavanaugh, the impeachment probe hearings, whatever that is, that are occurring up on Capitol Hill. Oh, my goodness. The IG report that's coming down the line. I'm going to give you a little clip on that when we come back. It is the Annie Frye Show. It's Tim Jones in for Annie Frye at 97.1 FM Talk.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Horowitz writes, We have now begun the process of finalizing our report by providing a draft of our factual findings to the department and the FBI for classification determination and marking. We will then proceed with our usual process for preparing final draft public and classified reports. As part of the standard inspector general review process, former officials who signed off on the FISA will have the chance to provide comment for the final public report. They include former Director James Comey, who signed off on the first surveillance warrant for a Trump campaign aide, his former deputy Andrew McCabe, the Bureau's top lawyer James Baker, former FBI agent Peter Strzok, lawyer Lisa Page, among other witnesses.
So what's the big deal here?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people are asking that about the IG report. It is a big deal, and I think it's probably one of the reasons why we're having a probe in search of a crime on Capitol Hill today. So, whew. Hey, the sun just came out here in downtown St. Louis. All right.
It looks beautiful.
It's probably a little warmer outside than what it looks like, but I'm going to the ball game tonight.
Nice.
Cards won last night, right?
Yeah, let's bring home a winner.
One of my buddies was complaining about them the other day. He said the pitching's been great this year. There's a friend of mine who watches baseball very closely, a lot more than I do. And he was saying that the problem with the Cardinals hitters is they can hit a fastball, but they have real trouble with the changeup, the curves, the sliders, and the breaking balls. I don't know if that's true or not, but that was his. They were like, they just need to be more prolific hitters. So I don't know if that's true or not. I'm just saying that's what I don't know. I don't. I'll watch closely tonight. How's
yeah.
that?
Yeah. How about you report back and tell us what you see
tonight?
They're
in first place, so
yeah. I mean, you can't complain about the record. I mean, the division's not the best, but I mean they're well over 500 now.
And
I mean, they're playing decent baseball.
Yeah. The magic number is 11.
So we have a magic number now.
Uh-huh. The magic number is 11, and playoff tickets, even though they have not clinched a playoff berth yet, playoff tickets go on sale on Thursday at noon.
I went ahead and put a buddy of mine gets a deal every year where we can reserve two tickets, and you basically have to buy. You have to put down money that assumes they go to every game of every series and all the way through the World Series. So it's a bit of an outlay on the front end, but
yeah,
you're happy about it on the back end if they go that far because you've got two
you're
seats.
Locked in.
So he
yeah.
buys a seat, I buy a seat, and then we share it or take somebody or whatever and kind of. But we're locked in, so we went ahead and we believe.
Nice.
We believe.
That's great.
My feeling right now is, from what little baseball I've watched this year, I've been to 4 or 5 games, going tonight. I'm going to go next week, actually. First round, probably going to be fine. But this series is important because aren't we playing the Nationals in this series?
I think so.
And that's who we might play
in
the first or second round, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and the Nats have given us trouble, so that's great that we won last night.
Mm-hmm.
But we've played well against the Dodgers, I think, this year,
mm-hmm.
who are like one of the hottest teams in baseball. Them and the Astros in the American League. And the Yankees.
Just got to get in the playoffs.
Yeah.
They proved that in 2006.
Hey, did you watch any of that Mariano Rivera induction?
A little bit.
Yesterday?
A little bit.
He said You know, there you go. There's another thing that the media will treat like a dodo bird, like it doesn't exist anymore, like it's extinct. You've got an American hero success story there in Rivera getting the Congressional Medal of Freedom, I think, the highest civilian award. And Tony, he was talking about the fact that he was really upset when he was first in the league, not about a particular game or a particular season, but because he didn't know English well enough. And he really wanted to learn English. He wanted to be part of the American experience. So he said he worked really hard on that. He became incredibly proficient in English. And he said then he truly felt like an American. Mm-hmm. And he was happy that he felt that way. And he wants to give that opportunity to every single American child. And he's running something for the president. So here you have a man of color standing by the president, getting an award, being praised, and praising back the guy that everybody in the media calls a racist. He's not a freaking racist. Get over yourselves. Joy Reid, apparently, had a little nugget of wisdom for us today, speaking of this subject, Tony.
I'm glad we're getting to this at the end of the... I don't mean to end the show on a negative point, but this is important. Joy Reid, a video has come out this week that she put out... where she says that wealthy white Christian men will enact apartheid to maintain power. Listen to this quote. No country is an eternal democracy. And when you have a very determined minority, in this case, wealthy white men and wealthy white Christian men and Christian Americans who are of the fundamentalist variety, who are very clear that no matter what happens, if they have to pull the South Africa model to maintain power forever, they will do it. And they're not afraid of it, and they're increasingly open about it. I don't know who's, I don't know anybody who's open about apartheid, Joy. What are you talking about? They're increasingly open about it, and Donald Trump is merely the avatar for this. She says, or that's the end of the quote from this week. It's not the first time that she has used the word apartheid to attack Republicans. In July, she tweeted that the Trump administration was practicing a form of apartheid by detaining suspected illegal immigrants.
That was my head exploding.
Oh, my God. This
Sorry,
is
Katie.
The, I love it.
Katie thought the studio just went up in flames.
This is the party... This is the party that supposedly fights racism.
Yes, this they're is the biggest party. Race hustler, race baiters. Tony, we elected a black president, and guess what? I will bet my bippy right now that a lot of white people voted for Barack Obama.
Yeah.
A lot of white Democrats. I'll bet some white Republicans voted for Barack Obama. I didn't vote for him because I don't like his policies, not because I'm a racist, which is what the left calls me because I'm a conservative, hardcore Republican. A lot of white people, a lot of white wealthy people voted for Barack Obama.
Yeah.
This is when you have nothing else to go on, when you are politically, philosophically, and morally bankrupt. And that's why we're here, to give you all the positivity.
Is that unbelievable?
And
that
Tony, person, this is what they're saying.
That's not some crazy wingnut. That's a person who is a host on a network, network...
This is what they're saying.
News organization.
Can you imagine what they're going to be saying, Tony, next summer? This is what they're saying 12 months out, 15 months out from the election. I'd rather folks listen to Donna Brazile. Donna Brazile is a hardcore Clintonista liberal, but because she's on Fox now, she's kind of got a different take on that. I think she speaks in a liberated way in the sense that she's not confined by these hard lefty opinions. She's actually making a lot. She's a liberal I like to listen to, you know? And she doesn't play the race card much anymore. But Joy Reid and some of these other people, it's just really disgusting. And, you know, or you can listen to great black conservatives like Thomas Sowell or the guy I saw last week out at the Hammond Institute, Dr. Walter Williams. You know, they act like black conservatives don't exist. There's more and more black conservatives rising up and raising their hands every single day because this party, the Democratic Party of old, is gone. It's dead. It's defunct. It's become a very white, liberal, leftist party. And so if you want the party of opportunity, freedom, and prosperity, it's the GOP. That's all I got to say. Hey, thanks for joining us here on the Annie Fry Show. It was a pleasure sitting in. Katie, Tony, thank you so much for making this
coming.
So much fun, as always. Thanks for Frank for all the associate producer abilities he brings to the show and answering your phone calls. Folks, we've got the DGS up next, so you're going to want to keep it right here on 97.1 FM Talk. Dave Glover and the gang up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.